Hey there, Street Fight listeners, Brett here to let you know real quick that we are going to be at the Electric Cannabis Carnival happening in Clio, Michigan, C-L-I-O, Michigan. It's kind of out of the way. Buffalo is nearby. Indiana, Chicago, y'all can get there too. We have exclusive tickets. These are cheaper than anywhere else you can get it. $80 for the entire weekend. Camping starts Friday at 4:20 p.m., goes all the way until Sunday. If you aren't a Michigan resident, you are still going to be able to smoke. There's going to be doctors on site handing out prescriptions for medical marijuana, and that's to anybody that attends. It's $80 for the whole weekend. It's a festival. Brian and I won't be performing, at least we don't think so at the moment, but we're going to be around with cameras, doing Snapchat, Instagram, recording live shows with fans. So if you're there, that'll probably go down. And we're just going to get high as fuck and have a lot of fun. It's also a goddamn carnival, and it's in the middle of a speedway. It's a racetrack with a carnival on the inside of it. DJ Lethal from Limp Bizkit and La Cosa Nostra and House of Pain is going to be headlining. DJ Starscream from Slipknot is going to be there as well. Boba Flex from Columbus. It's metal. It's new metal. There's some jam bands. The Works are going to be there. The Ohio Burn Unit is going to show up and do some pyrotechnic. Play around with some fucking fire while you're all dabbed out of your brain. It's going to be a great time. There's an eclectic lineup of bands, and I think it's going to be heady as fuck. So head over to bit.ly, Bitly, you know, that famous shortener, bit.ly/SFEKK, SFEKK. $80 for the entire weekend. That includes a place to camp or park your RV, whatever you need. If you don't think you can make it for the camping and all of that, or you want a cheaper option, I talked to a couple of Street Fight listeners, and they're going to be putting together some caravans and maybe some cheaper camping spots down the road. So please get at me, streetfightradio@gmail.com, if you need help with any sort of logistics of any kind, and we'll make this thing happen. I'm going to send an update to the Patreon people as well. Once again, to check it all out, bit.ly/SF. EKK, bit.ly/SFEKK. Go there, look at it, consider it. It's May 12th, 13th, and 14th. Short notice, but it's going to be a blast. Peace, y'all. Hey there, thank you for listening to Street Fight Radio. We're glad you're back. We're glad you're giving us a shot. However you got here, we appreciate it, as always. You can find us on streetfightradio.com. From any device that you use, you can listen to the show wherever you're at, even if that's at work, stealing some time, or doing some monkey wrenching. Or subscribe to us on the podcast app. If you got an iPhone, pull up that podcast app, look for Street Fight Radio, we're right there. On Android, there's like a babillion podcasting apps that you get us from. Look for Street Fight Radio, Street Fight WCRS. We are there. And we're going to continue spreading this mess across the U.S. as always. We want to make dissension and disbelief in the status quo the regular thing to believe in. We're tired of standing on the sidelines. We're ready for everybody to stand up and stop believing in this bullshit-ass managerial class Republican and Democrat bullshit. We want to see something else. So that's why Brian and I started doing this 6 years ago. My name is Brett Payne, my co-host, Brian Quinby. 6 years ago, we started with the dream of unbrainwashing the people and letting them find their own way and stop believing in this American-ass nightmare that everybody's tied into. And now it's become a phenomenon. We made it onto Monday Night Raw, for God's sake. So as we continue building our army and our coalition of folks that are ready to party forever and rip billionaires from their Bugattis, we will keep marching on.
Yeah, baby. Man, I had the worst thing. I have a personal story for us this week, Brett. Not a news story. This ain't coming out of the newspaper, okay?
This is real life.
The realest life. So American Apparel's going out of business, okay?
Big deal.
And I have been, their t-shirts are the most comfortable. I don't.
They're made here too.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's huge problems with American Apparel, but I don't know them. But I know that they make the most comfortable t-shirts out on the market.
All the people I know, I mean, besides like the sexual predator stuff, the guy that owned it, everybody was like, they hire illegals. And I'm like, well, I don't mind that. I don't consider people illegal.
Yeah, I'm fine. Somebody has to pay them, right. You know? Jeez.
How do they get money otherwise?
It says sweatshop free on it. I don't know. I've been going and buying up as much stuff as I can. I mean, I'm getting t-shirts for $3, Brett.
That's a windfall.
That is huge. It's huge. I can't stop buying them. So I found a yellow t-shirt.
Okay. What kind of yellow?
Like a mustardy, but light mustard, like French's.
Okay. Light mustard.
You know what I'm talking about? The French's mustard.
Yeah.
Klosterman's or whatever that is in a big yellow barrel.
Like not Charlie Brown yellow.
Yeah, no. Well, a little
like
bit.
Like a lighter maybe. Version of Charlie Brown?
Maybe a little bit lighter. And I bought this shirt, and I, listen, Brett will tell you, I don't wear yellow, okay?
No, I mean, I don't think it's in your color palette.
There's only like three colors in my color palette, and it's black, gray, and white.
Brown.
Occasionally brown, yes.
Brown if you're trying to spice it up.
Yeah, I did. I brought a brown t-shirt, so... I got one. Don't worry. But I bought this yellow t-shirt and I was feeling really insecure about it. So I was like, I'm going to wear it today and see how the day goes.
Yeah.
You know,
new life in like a bright yellow t-shirt. Yeah. All of a sudden people notice you.
Yeah.
You're not just like more of the gray clouds in the background.
Right. Yeah.
You're a bright sunshine yellow.
I am. I'm trying to sunshine people's rooms up. I want the rooms to be aesthetically pleasing, even though I hate the color yellow. I know other people like it. I know it's necessary. It's the color of sunshine.
Yeah, that's where all the chlorophyll gets all swole up from.
Right, yeah. That's where the chlorophyll comes
that's
from.
That's where chlorophyll comes from. It eats up the sun.
Yeah, yeah.
The yellow shit.
So I am walking down the street when I ram.
You told everybody, too. I did hear you tell multiple times about how you were insecure about buying a bright yellow shirt.
I
mean, I don't give a shit. Like, most people aren't, but you were really, like, I don't know about this yellow shirt. It doesn't seem like it's my type of thing.
No, I don't think I'm supposed to wear yellow.
And everybody's like, I mean, just... stop it. Just it's a yellow shirt. Why are you so hung up on it? Who cares?
Stop being a baby about this yellow shirt, okay? And so I put it on, and I went for my walk, my ramble. I would call it a constitutional, but I hate the Constitution. So I'm just going to call it a ramble.
I think ramble's great, yeah.
That's what they called it back in the day. That's what when men went and walked around the neighborhood, they's rambling. I can walk around with the vaporizer, get a little buzz, check out things. Some fucking... the worst human on the planet, really. Okay. I think I'm going to put him up there with like Richard Spencer.
Unsupportive.
Really bad. Now, I can't hear exactly what he said, but he leaned out of his pickup truck window and said, "Nice yellow shirt," or something to that effect.
He got your ass.
He did. I went home and took that thing off and haven't worn it since. Like, I want somebody to take it out of my house.
It's cursed.
It's cursed. A guy made fun of me. What kind of a terrible person? I hate people that yell out of their cars.
Honest. He's honest. Somebody's honest.
Yeah. Yeah. But I hate it when people yell out of their cars.
Yeah.
Nothing fucking fires me up more. There's two things that fire me up. One is when people yell at you from a moving car. And two is when people yell at you when you're in your car and say, slow down. When you're driving down a street. Hate both of those things. But I have a kind of respect for the person that says, hey, slow down. You know, because I could stop and face that person.
Yeah.
You know, the person that yelled at me, I could be like, I was driving like 2 miles over the speed limit. Give it a rest.
Well, I mean, sometimes the driving feels a little crazy. And if somebody else stepped in and was like, that shit looked wild, dude. Yeah. Like if somebody's like, cool it. Cool your jets on this like experimental driving that you're trying to do right now.
Experiment. It's just a little bit faster.
Yeah, know? I mean, it's too much. Too much for us. Yeah. We don't drive like that in this neck of the woods.
Yes. Yeah, so
I think it's fair. I mean, for me, I think that I think more than anything, everyone has a right to express themselves, like in their opinion on what's happening in front of them. Like the free speech thing is like, if you don't like how someone's driving, fucking yell it at them. Because I think I would do that. If I didn't like what I saw in front of my face, I'll just yell it at somebody.
I don't like it. I hate it when I'm in the car. I'm usually in the car. We got to clarify that I'm usually driving the car that gets yelled at by somebody. And it makes me mad. But it also, like I said, that person could be forced to face me. Face me, you coward. You know,
well, if you stopped, you're driving away from
them. I know. That's the thing. I could get out of the car in my time. If you drive by and yell at somebody, coward. You should have to come back and face me. Face me and tell me my shirt's ugly.
You have to stop, man. You can't run away from the challenge.
I'm not running away from... yeah, that's true.
They're yelling at you right there. They're like saying, stop right now. We'll talk about slowing down.
Yeah, let's have a conversation. I always yell, hey, fuck you! As loud as I can. I hate it. It just drives me crazy. You aren't a radar detector. You don't know how fast I'm driving.
Yeah, you're policing people's behavior too much for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Me?
Yeah.
How?
Someone's allowed to yell how they think about your driving. I feel like if you drive in publicly, people can publicly say how fucked up your driving is.
I'm 100% fine with that. I hate it though.
Okay.
Is what I'm trying to say. Like, but maybe it's not a perfect take. Maybe it's not a perfect law here, but I feel that way. You know, I in my heart am like, I know what I'm doing.
Okay. You're a bad driver. I mean, we have to let people know, full disclosure, you're a terrible driver.
I'm a good driver. I drive more than most
Lots
people.
Lots of accidents.
I have been in a few accidents.
Some pretty wild, unnecessary accidents.
A few. I've run into a sign before, okay? A Chinese food restaurant sign and totaled my car.
Right, because you couldn't find the brake.
It wasn't. Yeah, that was kind of what it is. I couldn't. My brain just didn't work at that moment, and I just slammed on the gas and hit the side. It was fucking crazy, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like everybody's right to yell at somebody. It should stay intact. I protect that.
I'm good with that.
I'm not going to bitch about it.
I like yelling at people, but I got to be allowed to do my thing. You know what I mean? I got to be allowed to do my driving. You know, I can have problems. So there we go. That's the yellow shirt story.
Like when people yell at me. I mean, I don't know. It just feels like good. It feels like you're brushing them haters off.
Yeah.
Like when you peel away from somebody that's yelling at you, it's like, fuck you. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So if anybody wants a yellow American Apparel t-shirt, 2X.
Brian has one.
You can have it.
On special.
It's all yours.
For free in the Street Fight store.
Yeah. We'll sell it in the store. You can go in there. You can buy my once worn, I'll wash it even, once worn American Apparel yellow t-shirt.
Someone just said nice yellow shirt.
Yeah.
What an asshole.
I know.
It's so good though.
This is an evil
monster. I mean, I have so much life. I have so many opportunities that I could just shame the shit out of somebody. It would be so fucking fun to do that.
I know. I mean,
it's right there. The brass ring is right in front of me. I could do that. I see people in a lot of ridiculous clothes.
Yes. Yeah.
They did you a solid, man. I mean, you knew it. Like, your family was looking at you like, no, Brian, that shirt looks great on you. Like, your best buds were all like, no, yellow is like bright and springy and summer is perfect for you. And then this dude on the street was like, hell no, dude. Fuck that. You knew it was bullshit when you put it on. Why are you out here walking around with that shirt on?
You didn't have confidence in that when you left the house.
Yeah, you didn't think you were stunting in that shirt.
I'm so fucking mad at that guy. Like, what if I could
have... trying to get discount shirts though. That's the thing, man. You can't go discount every time because it will fucking ruin you.
It felt like people, I didn't buy the $3 shirt, I'd be leaving money on the table.
There's people that go to like job interviews or like cocktail parties or fancy events in like some ill-fitting ass clothing that they got from like the Nordstrom Rack clearance. You know what I mean?
Right. Me. I would wear that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have good suits.
$8.50. It fits. It's only $8.50 for this shirt.
$850?
No, $8.50.
Oh, I'd buy that, yeah.
Yeah, and it would look horrible on you.
Yeah, I know.
It's like a $4 t-shirt. It's like a $4 yellow t-shirt.
Good thing I'll never wear anything that's not jeans and a t-shirt now, or flannel.
Yeah, black t-shirt.
No, I only have one black t-shirt. Don't you get these people thinking I'm some black t-shirt heavy metal head guy.
You're Screamo.
Yeah, I don't. I have one black t-shirt, listeners, okay? Well, guess who made the news this week other than my shirt?
Yeah, the local news was blowing up about this asshole that got a $4 cheap shirt.
I'm glad a listener didn't see me in the yellow shirt.
Dude, that guy did you a solid. I mean, it's fair. I mean, I appreciate that because nobody else that I knew was everybody online was like, no, we love your selfie. Do you, Brian, be what? You. You're so open. You're just so like, you wear those ugly ass clothes and you don't give a fuck. And we admire that about you. It's like, we let you be so fucked up, but we respect that.
Yeah, I don't believe you people anymore. This is nobody. No, listen, here's my bit of advice when we come out of this story here. Never buy a yellow shirt.
Don't buy a yellow ass shirt, man. You're going to get some stains on it, man. Barbecue shows up real good on a yellow ass shirt.
I'm never going to wear another yellow shirt in my entire life. I promise you, I will never wear a yellow shirt in my entire life.
You were famous when I met you for having stretched out necks on your shirt.
I know.
Like,
I know.
You would just pull the seams until they popped on
there. Well, I had a kid. That was the thing. And she was pulling on my shirts by giving me bacon neck. I couldn't do nothing about it.
Yeah, wiggly ass necks on your shirt. That's true. My daughter did the same to me.
Yeah.
She popped all the seams. Like, she would just wrench onto it and be like, you would just feel all of the elasticity go from it.
Now I'm tight necked. My head fits out like it's just a little hole.
And your mustard ass Charlie Brown shirt.
Except for that shirt. I don't wear that shirt anymore. I'm selling it to a listener. I'll sell it to you for $1.50 plus shipping. So maybe we'll auction off the yellow shirt. See if we can give to a good cause like weed.
It would look good on somebody. I mean, somebody it would work for.
Oh, I know there's a listener out there that could wear a 2X yellow shirt. So guess who made it back to the news? Mike.
Rowe.
Yeah, I was going to see if you get it. You didn't know it was one of the other mics we always yell at.
Yeah, what other mics are we going after?
I can't think of a single
Mike Pence?
One. Mike Pence. Yeah, Mike Pence. A lot of evil mics out there in the world, I got to say.
Not Mike and Ike, though.
Mike and Ike's not the original flavor Mike and Ike, but the lemonade Mike and Ike's are really good.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So
Mike Rowe's back, and what's he doing now?
He's mad about the United guy. The guy that got dragged off the United.
I did see something about this. Now that you mentioned it, yeah, people sent it to the street fight. Thank you for that. I did see this.
You always have to let us know what Mike Rowe's up to, I think. Like, we're going to have to keep track of this guy for the rest of our lives now.
Mike Rowe was sitting on a velvet daybed on his fucking brand new iPad Pro, holding up his stylus, looking at this like, my goodness, the insolence of this man that wouldn't give up his seat. It's despicable. In polite society, we shan't cross the boundary of questioning authority. You know, this guy's deep, man. He's deep. He's country, but he's deep. He worked in a coal mine. He had black lung. He survived it from picking himself up from the bootstraps. And now he's there to say that this sumbitch should get off that plane.
I mean, he's not. The thing about him is that he would never. He doesn't come off as bootlickery. To be bootlickery. He doesn't come off as a bootlicker to people because he frames it like he's telling it how it is. And that's
what
I figured out about.
He's naked. No, but I think he is honest, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the issue that we have is that there are a few of us, Street Fight hosts and Street Fight listeners, that have realized this is kind of bullshit. But for everybody else, they've really bought into this idea that, like, trading in all of your free time for work will pay off in the end. You can get more Walmart stuff.
Yeah. So Donna Johnson asked him a question. She's just a fan of my micro fan. He's got many more than we do.
Right.
So by magnitudes more than we do. But micro was asked by one of his people, I assume you've seen the United video. Were you as disturbed as I was? How can a company treat their customers like that and remain in business? I know you fly all the time. What would you do if you were the CEO? So that's the question Mike Rowe is that's the question Mike Rowe's thinking about when he's sitting on a silk recliner and drinking a Chardonnay.
It's psychotic, dude. Like this is who we have to confront. Like we have to isolate ourselves from other people because everybody else, we are in the smallest of minorities when we're like, someone shouldn't get beat over the head for not giving up their seat that they paid for.
Yeah, and that's right? A cut and dry situation. And another thing about this, the police shouldn't be beating people up for stuff like this. That's
no,
not the
this
police.
Is going to be a line. There's in no point of buying a plane ticket. I know y'all throw a whole bunch of extra shit into the terms of service, but at no point should that indicate that someone's going to hit me in the head with a fucking club.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's a small thing we can agree with here.
No, not everybody. No, I think Mike Rowe believes that if you have to be hit in the head with a club, that's what it takes.
Yes.
Yeah, so, to enforce, you know, people get a lot out of flying. Do you want us to transfer the costs of not overbooking planes to you? Well, you would complain about paying more for your airplane, you know?
Right. So here's the Mike Rowe.
Let's go, Mike Rowe. Let's hear it.
Answering this question. Let's find out how Mike answers the question.
Help us out,
Facebook.
Mike.
These kinds of episodes are always disturbing. But what bothered me initially about this video was not just the violence. It was the obvious ease with which it could have been avoided. Now, I agree. The police didn't have to beat that guy up. Like, it was very easily avoidable.
Yeah. All they had to do is not hit someone in the face until they fucking bled.
So instead, he says, a little common sense and the freedom to apply it could have resolved this situation in a dozen different ways. Last night, however, I watched a tape of United CEO Oscar Munoz as he attempted to walk back some earlier comments. He told ABC News that the passenger in question, David Dow, did nothing wrong. And now I'm no longer disturbed, Donna. I'm merely terrified. I'm sure he's terrified because it's like, shit, this guy on the airplane got beat up, and then the CEO of the company that caused all the problems said, apologize, he did the right thing.
Yeah. When my meemaw and my peepaw America tell me what to do, I don't question nothing. I was pretty disturbed that this guy wouldn't get up from his seat that he had already had.
And I know you guys are going to make the case. Yeah, it is a private corporation. It's not America, but it's as America as anything could ever possibly be.
Stupid. I mean, there's no reason to ever get to this level. I mean, unless you are trash. I mean, who feels like that? I don't know. It just feels like you are... think so low of people that they should be treated like that.
Who watches that video? This and Mike Rowe is the guy that we're gonna look at about who watches this video actually. But the guy watches this video and that's the first thing this is what he's thinking about. Is Oscar serious? God, I hope not. I hope he's just doing the typical over-apology thing CEOs do when their crisis experts tell them they've got to say whatever it takes to win back the public trust. I hope he's just reacting to some lawyer who told him before the interview, for the love of God, Oscar, don't blame the victim. Well, Oscar certainly didn't blame the victim, but in the process of finding him blameless, he suggested that millions of passengers are under no obligation to follow a direct command from United employees. Yes, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I am entered into the United Command, sir. I will be traveling under your tutelage, sir.
I got I'm sick by this. I'm sick by something.
Fall in line, soldier. You're traveling on America Airlines. We got rules around here. Click your heels.
Respect. You need to respect the sanctity of a United Airlines. This is a goddamn airline, okay?
Parade rest.
This fucking guy is such a turd. Like,
more than anything, he just wants to be punished. I feel like, I broke the rules. What are you going to do now? Punish me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm
he really,
sure.
When I he mean, he his, likes it.
He thanks the police for a speeding ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. Guy. He's like, Yeah, it was out of line. It was completely out of line. I shouldn't have been doing that.
It's unsafe. I see why you guys do this. I see why you guys clock people.
You know, and then I go 69, someone goes 70, I go 71 back, and we've got ourselves a pissing match that's turned into a really dangerous situation.
So here we go. Here we go, Brett. This is where Micro does his micro thing, baby. I mean, he's already been doing it. Obviously, airlines don't like to... Here's the thing. It's easy to forget that we have no right to fly. Buying a ticket doesn't change that. So when we board the plane, we have no right to remain there. We can legally be removed if we're too drunk, too loud, too creepy, too suspicious, or too big for the seat. We can be removed if we stink. We can be removed if we're insubordinate. We can be removed for whatever reason the airline deems necessary. No shit, but not forcibly removed and punched in the face. And secondly, this guy wasn't drunk. He was on the fucking airplane in the seat that he bought the fucking ticket for.
Yeah, but sometimes you get punched in the face to change somebody's mind. They just get too stubborn.
The guy can't miss an opportunity to blame anybody but a corporation.
Right.
Like, why are you drinking that poison drinking water from the laundry detergent plant? What's up with that? Well, you'd think you'd take a drink of it and it would taste like poison and you would just spit it out. Like, he is like America's great. He's like corporate America's like greatest PR guy. It's just like this homespun wisdom, like he's whittling wood and telling you to always follow orders no matter who's giving them.
My grandmammy and my grandpappy all worked four jobs to get by, and it was because that's what you do in America.
Yeah.
You know, that's his jam.
Yeah.
Work harder so that he can get more money.
Yeah. And
buy more trucks.
He goes through and he talks about the contract. He explains the contract because guys like this are always like, lawyers, am I right? You know, well, there's this. And that's the fucking company's fault, man. Brett and I think, would both fly for an airline that just handed you the ticket and said, don't like act like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I can get by.
Like, I don't.
If you buy a seat and you get on it and they're not going to kick you off.
Yeah.
I would be pretty pissed if they kicked me off a fucking flight that I was on.
I'd be fired up about that. But, I mean, the contract to me doesn't mean shit. I mean, obviously, the contract on that ticket didn't mean that he wasn't going to get his ass whooped on the airplane.
No.
That didn't help him. That wasn't like a shield
for him.
They'll
fuck you up.
Yeah. But oh, my God. Okay. I was going to skip some of this here, but I just saw a sentence. Moving forward, what matters to me most is a heightened respect for the rules and a heightened respect for the people who enforce them. He's the anti-street. He's the anti-Brian, is what I see Mike Rowe as. He's exactly. He is the. Which one's the bad one? The yang or the yin?
I mean,
the yin to my yang.
He's
my arch nemesis. I feel like this guy, but the difference between me and him is I've had a job before, like a real job where you have to do real work.
Yeah. You know, you at least have some sort of firsthand knowledge of what you're talking about.
Yeah. All of our listeners have had a real job where they do real work. Probably. I mean, if you haven't, God bless you. I respect you and I love it, but
yeah,
you
I would know, love to get that gig.
Pretty much everybody is more experienced in these things than Mike Rowe.
Yeah. I mean, he's just trying to approximate it. He's trying to be a poet about it. He's just trying to make something up that gets people to keep buying into it.
I mean, he's like, obviously the policies that led to this particular fiasco need to change. But the greatest enemy we face in the friendly skies is not bad service. It's anarchy. Well, that's a lie.
Well, yeah.
Already. Come on.
You know what? Self-determination, Micro, you fucking lapdog.
What the fuck does he think is going to happen in the airplane under anarchy? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, in anarchy, people would be found a flight that suits them properly. We wouldn't be able to overbook any flights. Do you want that? Is that the kind of anarchy you want, where people aren't oversold flights?
This guy's never read the NAP. He has no idea what the non-aggression principle is.
Dumb.
Yeah, come on, man. I mean, we can't hurt each other. I mean, but like, really, do you think people are going to go yank the steering wheel away from the pilot or something just because this guy, like, he wants a heightened sense of the rules. He wants to make it a more, I mean, white knuckling sort of thing, you know? Yeah. He wants to make everything feel a little more nerve-wracking.
Yeah, he wants to heighten the intensity of everything.
Like, he would be so cool with a Hitler. Like,
he would, yeah, would be into it. It's so modern, the way you do things. It's so simplistic. It's direct and to the point. Fall in line or get fucked. I love it.
Yeah. And he gives a little announcement at the end of his stupid speech, and I'm going to give you his in-flight announcement, okay?
Mike Rowe did all this? Why did he do all this?
It's really long. We're skipping so much
He's so bloviated.
He is. He's crazy.
He's at some fucking cheap-ass Atlantis resort typing up these goddamn conservative emails and drinking a $14 fishbowl cocktail.
And he's in Aruba. Probably on one of those islands you never heard of that rich people go to.
It's he's in Anguilla.
Yeah, he's in, what's that place? Ibiza. He's out in Ibiza, like, sipping on a fucking $200 whiskey.
Sazerac. He's really turned up.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, he's got a sandal sponsor.
Yeah, for sure. He sleeps free everywhere. People love that fucking guy. Yeah. He's wearing Lee jeans. I mean, his job is to tell people to buy jeans.
Keep working for no money.
Yeah, he's the guy that is lecturing me about taking more hours, whose job is to sell car, who is to read a thing about how good a Ford Escort or a Ford truck is. Yeah, I think.
He does the Ford trucks. Yeah, you know, he wakes up at a hotel and looks at people and says, like, oh, I sure as hell couldn't clean up this hotel. Like, I salute you, my friend. And it's like,
fuck you.
Fuck you. What does that do for me?
You don't want me to have a higher, you don't want to change the minimum wage or anything. You don't want them to force me to have benefits
or
anything.
You don't advocate for me.
Yeah, you don't give a shit about me.
I want to
do his in-flight announcement here. He wanted
he's garbage.
He said, I prepared a new greeting for your pilots to read prior to takeoff. I think it captures the kind of transparency many of your customers currently crave. Maybe one day, as I pull my seatbelt low and tight across my hips, I'll get to hear it.
Fire up his Nicholas Sparks book.
Here it goes. Here it goes, man. Morning, folks, and welcome aboard. This is your captain speaking. I realize you paid a lot of money to rent the seat you're currently occupying, but let's be clear right from the get-go. You have no right to be here.
Jesus. What the fuck? What kind of barbarian society is he into?
We're glad that you are here, but I don't care how much you paid to fly with us today or what we think you might be entitled to as a result.
This is fucking hellish. Who's advocating? Why are you? He's so ghoulish.
He's a fucking beast. He's the meanest. He's a mean guy.
Why are you advocating for this?
He doesn't care about people at all. Like, he is...
You know what? You go to an AMC theater, and they hold their guests at knife point until they feel they're comfortable to watch a movie. And that's something we have to just respect about the way they do business, right?
Yeah.
That's his world. Like, what is... What?
It's not even done. Here it is.
Dude, this guy definitely has had people step on his nuts with some high heels.
He probably had to spend a ton of money to get like a CEO to do
it. I want
to
fin-dom this guy. I want to be like, yeah, I drove a forklift, baby. Only got paid $11.50 an hour.
Work
give me
70
your money.
Hours a week.
Yeah, give me your money. I did a mandatory overtime. Pay me.
Yeah.
Pay me, you fucking, you know, petty bourgeoisie piece of shit.
Yeah, he hires CEOs to step on his nuts for him. Like, that dirty jobs money is almost gone.
It's all spent on...
He's got, like, the CEO of Anthem Health fucking stomping on his nuts every day.
He got peed on by the Walmart CEO.
Yeah. It's those freaky rich people parties they always talk about.
Yeah,
that's Mike Rowe is their guy.
They're wearing plague masks and shit and fucking around and doing doo-doo stuff. just because they don't know how to identify with what everyone else is living through. Yeah. You know, they have too much. They have too much. Like, it just burdens them to the point where they get into these like completely derelict behaviors.
Yeah. And he's just screaming at him, just really like, he's just sitting in there like, everything you do, you guys employ so many people. You're so wonderful, man. I wish people would listen more to you guys. You're the best. Okay.
Poop in my mouth.
Yeah.
I'm not even worth your shit. Just poop in my mouth.
Worth your shit. So the next line, I'm in charge of this.
This motherfucker put their poop on an ice cream cone.
He would.
Swirled ass poop from a Walmart executive.
He would lick doo-doo off of a guy's shoe. He would wipe the doo-doo off of a Walmart executive's shoes with his own hand and then like wipe it on his pants, his Lee jeans, and be like, I'm okay, sir. That's fine with me. You're the important one here. You're the man in charge.
Let's make sure you keep your level of decorum.
Yeah.
I'm Mike Rowe. I fall in line.
So he said, I'm in charge of this plane and everyone on it. That includes you. So if a flight attendant asks you to do something, don't argue. Just do it. We'll try to make your flight as comfortable as possible, but make no mistake. Your comfort is not our priority, and neither is your opinion about the decisions we make during the journey. He is like my dad. That's like my dad. Shut the fuck. I want the pilot to scream at me like he's my dad. Like he's my dad and I got a bad report card. And can we get that to happen?
Pretty pathetic that you couldn't buy first class, isn't it?
Yeah.
You scumbag.
Well, the fucking picture of that motherfucker is him sitting in first class with a whiskey in his hand. I promise you that's the picture he took on the thing. There's a curtain. You can see the first class curtain behind him. So here it is.
Does he have another show? Is he doing anything besides?
No, this is what he does.
He
now.
Just does conservative emails now.
He just tells everybody to follow the rules in his email now.
Oh, I'll tell you what, man. If somebody didn't follow the rules, we would take a lead pipe, we'd bash them in the brainstem. It would disconnect all of their criminal feelings, and it was just the appropriate thing to do. Back in 1955.
I mean, he really has hatred for
everybody. Human beings as a whole, like, disappoint him to the point where he wants to have their brains beat in.
Like, there's the top 15%.
There's the...
And he loves them.
The one percenters, really. They're one percenters.
Probably, yeah. But I'm saying, probably the top 15% of people, he's like, you people are what's doing.
You figured it out.
Everybody under there hates them, has complete and utter disdain.
Contempt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Wishes he could get them all working 70 hours a week so they wouldn't bother him anymore.
Mike Rowe seems like the kind of guy that's like, that would... would unleash some sort of like toxic bacteria upon us to like cut down people. He would call us. He really does seem like a Pol Pot in ways. Like, he's just ready to obliterate a certain portion of the population.
He's right. He just hates.
Like, these people are worthless. These people ain't ready to do dirty jobs. They have discontent for getting paid $7.50 to scrape up possums on the side of the road. You know, they're disgusting folks. We should exterminate them. Like, he would.
Hey, that probably would be a micro speech.
Hey, you know what? These people are not. They are not contributing to the society. This is micro. I'm on dirty jobs. I'm shoveling poor people into a furnace.
This is the dirtiest job.
Yeah, yeah. We got to do something. This is green energy. You know, these people are, you know, instead of watching Maury all day, these people are now green energy.
As for safety, you'll be pleased to know I have much to live for, and so does my co-pilot. So rest assured, we'll be doing all we can. Well, that's the thing. So does everybody else on the fucking airplane. Like, he thinks that everybody, that there's people on the airplane that are like, I don't fucking give a shit if this thing goes down right now. Like, he is acting like there's like even one of those people on every airplane.
Well, it's just somebody, you know, it's just somebody that's disconnected from society. I mean, I hope this episode makes it to Mike Rowe, because you know that you do not have to sit on customer service the way that the rest of us do to deal with some kind of layover type bullshit.
Yeah, Mike, like, the CEO doesn't apologize to me when I can't get in first class.
Exactly. Exactly. He doesn't hand over a whole bunch of flight bucks and let me fly for free.
Yeah.
He'll be like, hey, we're going to make sure we rent a brand new Ford truck anywhere you fly on our airlines. Yeah. We don't get that kind of fucking treatment.
Yeah. We pay for our cars and jeans and stuff.
I don't even fly. I never get to fly.
Me neither.
We don't fly. I don't have airplane experience whatsoever. I'm the first person that they would just punch in the head and be like, this guy's worth nothing. He's got tattoos in visible places.
Yeah.
He's worth nothing. Just throw him out of here. He's dung.
Yeah, I know. People want us to get to their places on tour, and it's like, we're going to be the worst flyers, man. Like, we suck at what we don't do it. We're not flying type people.
No, you can't run our credit. We can't rent a fucking car when we get to wherever you're at. There's just nothing about it. Nothing about it works for us.
Yeah, so here's the last part of it. Finally.
Oh, I fucking hate this guy, man. We give him too much time.
No, we don't. We're not being nice to him. It's not like we're doing a micro commercial
right now. I hate it, man. He's just, it's stupid. It is how everybody else thinks, though. I mean, we are in a complete minority on this. People would be shocked to hear this. Oh, Mike Rowe, he got me a really low APR on my Ford Focus lease, though.
Finally, we value your business here at United sincerely, and we appreciate the trust you've placed in us. But let's not gild the lily. For the next few hours, we're all in this together, so keep your hands to yourself, don't get drunk, and listen to the flight attendants. In other words, try not to be an asshole. I'll see you on the ground. Now that's an airline I could get behind. Who's with me? Nobody. Nobody would like that.
Well, I'm on to airlines where they sell the amount of tickets for the flight and then you can go.
I like that. I like that. I like the policy where they don't oversell them.
I think that's like no one is really trying to cause a disruption on the plane. It literally comes down to, I bought a ticket to fly on a fucking airplane. Why the hell am I not getting that? Why would I ever expect that when I took all my goddamn money that I got in my savings and I laid it down to secure a ride on this fucking airplane, why would I ever expect that someone would eject me from the seat?
Violently, with a fist.
With a club. Right, like, why would I? There's nothing in that contract. I guess I was never thinking. They caught me slipping. Like, they caught that dude slipping, and, like, Mike Rowe is, like, just, he always has to keep it real. He's like, man, they caught you slipping, man. You can't buy too many tickets. You get one of them cheap-ass tickets, man, and they'll beat you over the fucking head with a club. I don't know. I guess Mike Rowe is just too real with it.
They don't kick people out of first. Are you saying they don't kick people out of first class when they oversell?
No, fuck no, they don't. No, they're not looking. Those people's flights don't get oversold.
Like, he probably, how much stuff do you think he gets for free just from being Mike Rowe? Like, he's running around telling us to fucking suck it up, eat popcorn for dinner, and fucking dig holes 14 hours a day. And the motherfucker is sitting there eating fucking gold-plated marshmallows for dinner. I hate him. I fucking... Just this guy fucking makes me sick.
Millionaire. A fucking millionaire that's like, well, America, we'll beat the shit out of you if you don't follow policy.
That is his dream.
It's like, Norman Rockwell never painted nobody getting blooded up over a fucking airplane seat. That shit seemed like futuristic as hell, right? I mean, it was like it was a goddamn party in the sky.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah,
it's an airplane. Why is this? Why? How has this become like a fucking fight club?
He's made it seem like the worst place in the world to be.
Yeah, like hey, if you're on, don't expect decency on an airplane. Someone will shit on you. Someone will fire you out of the fucking exhaust valve if they feel like it, and they'll throw a parachute on you. But you better be ready because this is public transportation, my dude.
Yeah, yeah. No, your money doesn't mean what you think it means. That ticket doesn't mean shit, okay? You're on this with me. I'm the fucking boss, and I can do anything I want. But don't worry, I'm not suicidal. I don't actually want to tank the plane.
I'm not going to crash it.
I hate him, Brett. So there you go, guys. Micro.
Stupid.
Thank you, everybody, for sending the story. I love like, to hear anything that poor
imagine
says.
How imagine how bad it would feel if you had to club somebody's head in for your job. I just feel so bad for those guys that had to to enforce the rules, you know?
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Fuck that guy.
I have a good one for you. Okay, so I've had this email. Sometimes y'all send emails to me and I don't respond, and that's because it's like really, really, really good. And I'm like, I can't wait to do this on the show. And then I forget that you're probably waiting for a response from me. So I apologize for that. But I have a really good email that we got in at streetfightradio@gmail.com. Do you want to get in on this?
Yeah.
It's mailbag. It's like some advice type shit.
I got some work stuff, too. Is this work stuff?
Not really.
Or micro stuff?
No. This is just straight up advice shit.
Let's give some advice then.
The subject is, do I snitch?
Oh, shit. No, not usually, but let's hear the rest of this.
Yes. Hi, guys. I'm a relatively new listener, and I'm wondering if you ever do a mailbag podcast. If so, here's some content for it. Thank you for looking out for us.
We have. By the way, we have done them, but we can never guarantee we're ever going to do them again.
No, I would love to do them. I really want to do like judge type stuff. I really want to help people weigh some super heavy shit in their life.
I'm in with that. I like this. I like this.
It's all I have to lean into my genius. Yeah, what I'm doing, like what I'm good at. Like I'll talk shit about what you should do in your life. So he says, just a question on how to deal with a friend who is screwing his workers.
Small business tyrant. You're sniffing it out.
Let's see.
Just a friend.
He's
like
Australian. He's Australian, mate.
No, okay. Maybe they call friend something else.
Yeah, my friendies. Australian here, and in Australia we have a decent minimum hourly rate for casual staff, and up until recently, apparently there was a new bill that eliminates them from being paid horribly low rates. So up until recently we have great penalty rates. Which I don't know what penalty rates
mean. That's overtime. It's time and a half, baby. We're going to take it as the mean time and a half.
Yeah, I mean, that sucks. It's called penalty rates. It sounds bad. Yeah, like, it sounds horrible. It sounds like a drain on the economy.
People in other countries, they don't say minimum wage.
We're paying these penalty rates on everybody. You know, these folks they're boogie boarding on the weekends on the surf and, you know, we're paying the penalty rates. Yeah. So all the penalty rates are getting paid. Okay, so great penalty rates for public holiday and weekend work. So my friend and his girlfriend own a vegetarian brunch place in a gentrified neighborhood.
Restaurant. Okay, this ticks off a couple boxes here. They own a small business that is a restaurant. So they're probably crazy.
Some details.
Okay.
They serve $25 pancakes and $15 juices to white chicks in yoga pants, and they're making a killing.
That sounds delicious, though, the $25 pancakes.
I know, man. They probably have coconut in them, like all of your goji berries, like all the superfoods.
Yeah.
They're making a killing.
Vitamins.
They always have an hour wait. So here's the conundrum. So I recently found out that they have not paid penalty rates to any of their casual staff, who are mostly young university students. I mentioned that they should pay them, and they laughed it off.
Jeezy Pete, man.
I mean, that's tough. I mean, if it's Saturday night, maybe not the best time to talk about penalty rates.
But then come back like 2 days later and be like, yo, on Saturday night, I'm serious about those penalty rates.
Like, you got like 19-year-olds in there. These people are eating ramen noodles every fucking night. You should pay some penalty rates out on this.
Yeah.
For real. I'm just getting down with it.
I know we all had a big laugh at the bonfire the other night, but I got to tell you, man, you got to pay them penalty rates for real.
So he said, this is the type of bullshit that makes me angry when small business owners are held up in such high regard. I feel justified giving an anonymous tip to Australia's Fair Work Ombudsman, which would investigate, but I wouldn't feel good about it. I don't like snitching, but their ambivalence to their workers' rights is troubling. They aren't doing it tough and struggling to stay open. They have no rent as the building is owned by her father, Oh, come on. And they get back. They just got back from a month in Thailand.
Fuck. And they just don't pay time. And they're just like, fuck it. You know,
that's how you can go to Thailand if you take people's time and a half.
Right. It probably wouldn't even make a difference. You know, they just in Thailand, they got two extra drinks each for not paying time and a half. Like they saved. I mean, how much are they really saving? I mean, I guess it's a lot depending on the amount of. I guess it's 8 hours of time and a half. But you know what, man? You fucking small businesses, man. They have the right to it. They're the people. They have the most right to do whatever they want because they're so put upon. Their life is so hard. And they just rip off the people that make the least amount of money in the whole entire chain.
Yeah. Well, as for, and you know, actually, let me clarify this. As far as snitching goes, what I know from it is that it really is, they paint it as this thing where like crime is happening in the hood and no one will tell on anybody because they're afraid of snitching. And that's not the case. If you are doing dirt, if you are committing the crime, you cannot snitch. That's what snitching is. Yeah. I mean, you can't do something illegal and then tell on everybody else.
You're not in the game. If you're not in the game, you're not in the restaurant game. You're not in the small business tyrant game.
You're not out there actively getting extra time out of your student employees. Right. So you aren't doing dirt. So this ain't even snitching.
No.
The way that I honestly think that it's, you know, if they're your friend, like I respect that. I also have people in my life that I'm close to that probably don't align with anything that Street Fight does, and maybe it's even hypocritical or whatever it is, but I totally understand that. I also would say just make their life hard. Like,
bring it up.
As somebody that doesn't get to leave the country, like, fuck them, man. Make their life tough. My parents didn't have any goddamn line of credit to hand down to me. So the people that got it, I feel like their life should be fucking made as hard as goddamn possible.
You can make
fuck
them feel
them.
Bad. You can make them feel like
fuck
shit.
Them.
Yeah.
Turn them in. Turn them in because they're fucking garbage.
Well, yeah, they're doing bad stuff, man. I got a story.
It doesn't have to. Yeah. The state sucks, but if you can make their day worse than what it is, like.
If they're not paying their fucking employees, is the thing. You know, they're not paying a fair wage, then they need to. Then go for it, man. Because would you rather, like, these people not get their fair wage just to make sure that a restaurant doesn't get a fine? You know, fuck the restaurant. Give them the fine. Then they'll never get that money. They'll just fire it. We can't afford to be in business anymore.
I would love to see them go out of business. Just anybody that can take a month and go to Thailand, I want them to go out of business.
Right. It's a friend. I guess you're right, though.
It's tough, man. I knew a guy. Yeah, there was a guy named Blake that I knew that had a lot of money, and he had a lot of drugs, and he had the world was his oyster. He could literally do whatever he wanted, and his parents would pay for it. And he wasn't a horrible person, but I don't mind putting a roadblock in front of him either. I didn't mind. I would turn that motherfucker in for anything.
Right. I mean, honestly, it really, I think that here's the thing, like, confront him about it again. Because if you do go to whatever the board is, they're probably going to know it's you because you confronted them about it. I mean, I guess they might think it's an employee and take it out on them. But
yeah, if he just calls and said these people aren't paying time and a half for holidays, it could be a regular employee because they're gonna be like, oh, some fucking asshole that we employed called and told on us.
Yeah, and then they'll pin it on somebody they don't like and fire them. Somebody they think is mad and God, this is a sticky situation, my friend. They're very sticky. But
tattletale. Make their life hell. I mean, if I ever had a chance to make some cushy asshole's life hell, I would.
Yeah. Make them feel bad too. It'll probably make them feel bad. Like it might snap them out of it if they take their little fine and they pay it and they're like, ah, man, it would have been just easier for us to pay our employees, and then they start doing it. So I got a heads up on a bad business too. This is another. It's called Capstone Logistics. Small business. Sounds like a small business to me.
Yeah, definitely very small.
Well, you know.
I go to a Capstone Dental.
Yeah, they work on Dollar General warehouses unloading trucks. Before you start, you sign a contract waiving your right to file a class action lawsuit. That's one of the papers, but you get, it has to be bad, right? So the pay is totally performance-based. No hourly base at all, which is write your own paycheck, right, Brett?
Yeah, that is. I mean, that used to be a big deal. I mean, people used to get paid off of that.
And this is kind of like what Brett did in Texas. It's all how many fucking pallets you unload and rebuild and restack. It's just like what you did in Texas when you were building bikes. You weren't getting paid by the hour or anything. You were just sitting in a fucking parking lot putting bikes together for 12 hours.
Right, right. And some of the bikes they thought would take 14 minutes to put together, but there would be problems. Like, bikes would be made wrong or, like, completely fucked up or things would be missing. You spent 30, 45 minutes to put together a bike, and you only got paid $2.50 for that. It's like, well, wait a second. That's not worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's worth $2.50 if they only take 10 minutes to put a bike together, but... why, if I spend a half hour because this bike, you know, didn't have the right parts or needed to have some sort of special attention, you know, I've lost out.
Right. Yeah. And these
that's how
jobs,
they get by.
Yeah. And these jobs don't give a shit either. And this guy said they overstaff the place. Okay. So like they put so many people on it, and if there's not enough work, people will get into fist fights. So that they don't have to fucking, so that they can get the work. Like, people are fighting over work at this place because if there's not enough work to be done, you're knocked down to a minimum. Where he was at the warehouse was at 40% capacity, but they left the full staff of 16 on. There wasn't enough work to go around, and he saw his brothers get his brothers in labor. I love that he said that.
Brothers in labor.
Vanilla Yuck. That's cute. Not cute. I'm sorry. That sounds mean, but I never called them. You're
it's
right.
Camaraderie.
Comrades. Brothers in labor's tight, though.
That brothers in labor.
Like that's going to be our motorcycle gang. We're going to get that cut. Brothers in labor.
Brothers and sisters in labor.
But he saw people labor. Get violent, and he said he fears it's the wave of the future. I mean, these jobs have existed for a long time, but he's right. This sort of contract work thing is a real... like, businesses really love this now. They love paying for piece by the piece because you get all the work without paying any of the benefits.
Yeah, I mean, Longaberger was a big deal ages ago, a couple decades ago. There was a basket factory in Ohio called Longaberger, and the jobs there were per piece, and folks would go and... they would even have like their spouses and shit help them out, like set up the baskets before they make them, because it made more sense to have a helper, because they were paying like a legitimate amount of money to put a goddamn handcrafted basket together, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like, it meant something to get piece labor, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But now it's become like an code word for like independent contractor type shystiness.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it just says like, yeah, we put that bike together. You know, you get paid $5. It's pretty easy. It's like 90% completed. It's like, but it's also done in the shoddiest way possible. You know,
in so, a parking lot,
yeah,
in the middle of Texas, you're putting the things together, and it, yeah, stacking pallets and shit like that is just that's a tough fucking job, man. That's the worst, and they should be paying. What, like, especially stacking pallets, if you really think about it, that those are the jobs where you're giving your body over to your job.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're aching, you're trading in like sweat and health. I mean, your physical labor. I mean, you're putting it all into that.
I mean, it seems like... it seems like if those jobs are like any job that's physical like that, right? They should be forced to provide health insurance.
I know.
I mean every job should, but it's ridiculous that a place like this isn't forced to provide health insurance for its employees.
No, absolutely. And they had metrics when I worked at the warehouse. They had metrics that where they wanted you to be moving like 40 to 80 boxes per hour, you know, depending on size and depending on the job and everything. And I developed this problem with my wrist, and I couldn't even get it covered by healthcare because they could find a way to squirrel out of it. Like, they just offered limited benefits to
injured employees.
Right, right. To people that got hurt for doing what they were doing.
Yeah, right. I think a lot about how that works, especially with these contract jobs we're currently talking about. Is like, I was lucky that when I broke my wrist at my job, they paid me and kept my health insurance going until, you know, I was back to work. But yeah, there's a lot of jobs out there where they don't do that. Once you're injured, you're fucking gone. You can't work anymore. Like that story about the Lyft woman that took a drive because but then went to the hospital. Like, on what, you know what I'm talking about? She was having a kid. She was in labor.
She was pregnant. Yeah.
And that was like a really, that also, when I looked at it, I was like, well, that means she's not going to be able to work for like at least 6 weeks, and she's not going to be making any money while she's off.
Yeah, she got her last $34, but there's no coverage to take care of her, like, raising her child, connecting with her child.
Yep. Like, yep. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening to the show, Brett.
Yeah,
I didn't say we're done. All right, man, we're done.
We appreciate it, those of you that continue to tune in week after week, obviously. Spread the word wherever you can. We're on Facebook. We're on Snapchat. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. The username is Street Fight WCRS, StreetFightWCRS. That is how you can get all the updates on what we're doing, including live shows and secret pre-shows, whatever it may be. If you want to support what we do, head over to patreon.com. Patreon.com/streetfightradio is the link. That's all you need to do to hit it up. We put out a zine every single month now. It's a self-published magazine with, you know, some of our favorite people submitting articles. We also have our live show that we do once a month, and also Kratom delivery service. If you want to check out the plant Kratom, you can do that through our Patreon. You can also do that by heading over to bit.ly/sfkratom. That's our favorite Kratom supplier, and they have the best prices. If you want to keep your supply up, please use that link so that we get the affiliate credit for doing that. We are going to keep continuing to doing the show year after year after year. Until I'm in the dirt, man. I mean, I'm going to keep doing this thing. We hand it over to our kids. But it's the beginning of a cultural revolution, and I hope that you're ready for it and that you're prepared to jump feet first into this new flat earth that is egalitarian as fuck. Like, we're flattening everything. The earth, the money, the living standards, all of it is going that way. So please continue to tune in every single week. I'm Brett. He's Brian. We're Street Fight. Peace.
Are you still with me out there? You're gonna see if you know. Sunshine, blue sky. Please go away. My love has found another, gone away. With her went my future. My life is filled with gloom. So day after day, I stay locked up in my room. I know to you, it might sound strange, but I wish you would pray.
when I call.